Hello, and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. As you know, if you're a regular listener of our podcast, Revenue Rocket is the world premier growth strategy and M&A advisory firm for tech-enabled services firms. And I'm thrilled today to be here with my partners, Ryan Barnett and Matt Lockhart. Welcome, gentlemen.
And great to be with you, providing a report to those who've listened recently. We've all been exercising to shed some of those calories from the great Minnesota get-together, the state fair. So we're back in business and back on our workout routines. Well, at least I know you are, Ryan.
Well, those garlic fries have to go somewhere, and hopefully the walking at the fair was just not enough. So I'm with you there, Matt. So, but today we are going to walk into something we hold dear in our heart at Revenue Rocket, and something that we see within companies. And so when we are leaders in M&A and advisors for IT services companies, and really growth strategy consultants, and we really try to be the champions for growth for IT services companies. And one of those things that we run into a lot is the concept of ownership within firms. And it's something that we believe that for the ability for people to have some kind of growth in the future is important, and to have some monetary compensation for that helps build a lot of alignment. So today we want to talk about what are some different concepts for showing, having ownership. They may not necessarily be actual straight equity in a company. So Mike, I'd love for you to get us started.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of ways to create alignment, right? There is certainly profit sharing. I like to oftentimes point out that, there's great companies in all industries that do world-class job of profit sharing. One of my favorite ones to highlight is Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has a scenario where they do profit sharing with every member of the team, kind of from the entry-level employee at a restaurant to the senior leadership. And I think it shows in their results and certainly in their attention to detail. They would attribute much of their growth and success to the fact that they have a liberal profit-sharing plan. There's other ways to create alignment, certainly. One of those ways is through what's called an equity participation plan, or some people call that a phantom equity plan. I personally like equity participation because I think that's what it is. And it oftentimes aligns with a profit sharing plan, but gives additional benefits to the team members that have helped you build the business. And we certainly can unpack that further. It is different from issuing shares in the sense that it does not include what we'll call appreciation rights in those shares. There's pros and cons to that, and I can unpack that further in a minute, but in many ways, it's, most of what it means to be a share owner in a firm with oftentimes none of the baggage associated with that ownership.
So what's the best case for a company to consider if using something like a profit sharing plan or a phantom equity plan?
Well, the best case is that everybody thinks like an owner, right? I mean, that's the predominant reason to do that. There's good and bad, though. Like, if the company's performing well and the tide is rising, then everybody loves that, right? If you're an employee in that firm and you're getting material profit distributions, that's great. At the same time, during a period of economic headwinds or a slower time in the business, there's certainly less of that to go around, and as a result, you don't really get to benefit from that as an employee. And I think it can become challenging, right? People can feel pressure to either perform and help the business perform better, or just have to, understand that their comp in those years will be less. It's my personal opinion that sharing in net income and is something that should occur. It at the same level that really an owner who's invested heavily to grow the business over the years participates in sort of dividend distribution or profit distribution. Now, if you do that with a phantom equity plan, it comes with the additional benefit of being able to provide some other benefits for an employee that participates in an EPP plan or phantom plan. By in the unlikely event that they should die, that equity value will get paid out to them. Likewise, should the firm be sold, that equity value would be paid out to them. And it creates a vehicle for them to participate in equity in a way that is favorable. Now, the disadvantages, and you can see it as a disadvantage if you like, but are that there isn't appreciation rights in that equity, and that appreciation rights means that if they should decide to leave, as an employee of a firm, you decide to up and leave, you got a better opportunity, you want to start your own company, you know, whatever it might be, other than maybe a catastrophic illness. I think most EPP plans will pay out equity if someone has a material disability. But if they just decide to leave, then they will forego the value of that equity. And I think that also comes with the likely trade-off that they're not burdened by any of the reporting requirements or personal guarantee requirements associated with equity if that EPP plan is north of 20% equity. So, you know, there's some pros and cons. I don't want to try to gloss over it. It's a little bit complex, but there's certainly advantages and disadvantages to a plan like this. But in the end, I think it creates really interesting alignment around creating a vehicle not only for profit sharing, but also for participating in equity should there be a triggering event, whether that be death, disability, or sale of the firm by that, you know, sale by the firm in general, but death or disability by the employee. It also creates an incentive to stay with the firm, right? Because if your equity becomes worth your equity participation becomes worth a material amount of money, you need to be there to be able to take advantage of that should there be a triggering event, and you need to be there to be able to take advantage of it pursuant to your profit sharing. So hopefully that helps answer the question, Ryan.
Yeah, I think it gets us in a really a good spot in which it creates that alignment for future growth. Matt, when we were talking about this kind of in our prep show, we started out thinking this would be just about phantom equity, but there, if we're really looking at the opportunities here, we're trying to create that shared alignment for future growth, and one tool might be profit sharing or phantom equity. Are there other ways that we can help create that alignment in kind of shared goals that help kind of get us to that next stage? Matt, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, it's profit sharing but what is your overall incentive and bonus plan, right? And how well designed is your incentive and bonus plan? And so, you know, obviously the people who are responsible for growth within the company are oftentimes bonus based upon growth measures. And, you know, that's the most common, but do you have the opportunity to bonus other key individuals in different ways? Maybe it's customer satisfaction. Maybe it's individual customer growth. Maybe it's the deployment of new services or products, right? I mean, there's just so many things that that factor into arriving at those strategic goals for the firm. But the overall incentive plan, it should be one that is tied towards one's, you know, an employee's goals and their desires and their dreams and quite honestly, what they're really good at. So that they feel like they have the opportunity to quote unquote live their best lives professionally, And they feel a sense of their ability to continue to do that. And then through the variety of incentive plans, be it bonusing, be it profit sharing, be it, equity participation in one form, they're sort of overall, you know, it's not as though an employer is putting just golden handcuffs. They are putting their own handcuffs on themselves because they're having a great time and they're doing what they do really well and they're having success and they feel their own personal sense of ownership towards their ability to do that as well as they see how that's helping, you know, their teammates and helping their customers and helping the firm overall. So, I mean, you know, it's just this overall kind of incentive plan that needs to be carefully considered. And, you know, to Mike's point, you know, what is the burdens on the firm versus not and in applying the right incentive methods?
Right. And to get that alignment, it can create some really great opportunities for growth for everyone. This sounds like a really powerful plan. Mike, how hard is it to get something like this started at a company?
Not too hard. You know, most competent corporate lawyers know how to do this pretty well, right? You're going to want to document it well. If you can describe your intent about what you're trying to build and offer your employees pursuant to a EPP plan, they can help you document them. I guess any corporate lawyer with worth their salt has done this many, many times and should be able to give you good advice and counsel on kind of how to build it and position it. And, you know, it is a little bit, it does need to be documented well. So I don't want to gloss over. It's not a, you know, a two-page document. Typically, these are 30-page documents that talk about triggering events and talk about participation and sort of what's in and out of the rules of engagement around profit sharing and those kinds of things that I think benefit all parties. And so I would start with calling your lawyer and saying, hey, we want to do one of these things and like to build a program about it, around it, and they can help you get it documented and enroll. Certainly, we can advise on the concepts and how to best deploy them inside of a tech-enabled services company, just, you know, kind of based on our tribal knowledge and experience over the years, and we're available to help with that anytime.
Yeah, and when a plan like this gets rolled out, is it up to the owners or the management team's discretion of who and how much someone would participate in a plan like this?
Yeah, of course. I think it has to be part of a broader incentive plan and how it impacts your business. It may be for certain employees with certain levels of tenure. It could be for just one partner, right? Someone who you consider critical to the business, who is a partner that you've worked with for a long time, or it could be for everyone. I think in general, you have to think through that sharing. It's more about sharing in the fruits of your labor and in helping to provide a reward for the team that's helped you build your business. And I think you have to be thinking about that and be in a mindset and a place where you couldn't have gotten the business to where it is without the village or the team of people that have helped you do that. And I think if you come to that place, it makes it easier for you to structure an EPP plan or a profit sharing plan that's meaningful.
I think one of the things that intrigues me, at least me on this concept, is you mentioned some triggering events, but in some cases, if it's a profit sharing plan, it's not a the exit is not the kind of the only option. And I think about kind of the lure of equity at a, let's say a venture started company and you're given a large amount of shares, but you may not actually see the results of that ownership many companies, for example, in the startup phase don't get out of that startup phase, or they don't get to that acquired stage or that IPO stage. This seems very tangible to a company that can execute a program like this and realistic expectations for employees who are contributing when there is profit. And I think that that can gain some alignment that something like a traditional equity plan can't. This gets past the fallacy of equity in some levels. Any thoughts on that?
I'll say that, you know, I just personally, I believe strongly in this concept, so much so that, you know, in our firm, as you guys know, everyone in our firm participates in profit, right? Everyone, doesn't matter whether they're a new hire or they're someone who's been here since the beginning, participates in sort of profit. And it's a great way to reward the work, hard effort that everyone does within the business over time. And so it becomes a way to get alignment around thinking like an owner, right? I think owners generally think about, or should be thinking about, profitability every day, and how they make investments in the business and take risk and understand the reward in those risks and balance that risk reward to produce profit sort of equation. Now, if everyone in the business can think like that to some level, that's very, very powerful. And I think it ends up translating into better results because people realize that if the firm performs better, then they'll all perform better personally as well. So it's a super powerful concept that I think the firms that have implemented it well, certainly, in my opinion, outperform the ones that don't.
That's great. Matt, I'll turn it over to you. Any thoughts here? Just a little shorter one, but great concept, and would love to hear any kind of closing thoughts.
I think that this is very good and helpful, and the only closing thought that I'll add is driving ownership throughout an organization isn't just about money. It really is about culture. It's about, you know, the idea that if you empower people, those people are going to naturally buy in more. They are going to make better decisions, and they are going to take care of customers better than if they're not bought in. And so we'd love to chat. we've all been here. We've all done this. We've done it, and we've learned. You know, we've screwed up. It's not easy. It's not something that you set it and forget it. You're constantly evolving in your methods to drive ownership throughout the organization. And the monetary options that we discussed today are super important, but it's not the only answer.
Great. With that, I'll turn it back to you, Mike.
Sounds great, Ryan. With that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week's Shoot the Moon podcast. And we encourage you to tune in next week. We'll unpack additional concepts around growth strategy and M&A for tech-enabled services companies. Thanks much, and make it a great week.